Hello, and welcome to another Emmy edition of the Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and today I'm joined by Joey Moser. And Joey, every now and again we talk to Emmy nominees. We posted a couple of these already. We've got a couple coming up. But this time you have talked to an Emmy nominee this year. You want to tell us about it?
Yeah, I spoke briefly with nominee for Best Animated Program for Big Mouth, Nick Kroll, that awesome. I was shitting my pants over. So you're
a huge fan of Big Mouth.
Yeah, I had to sort of like contain myself a little bit because I didn't want to sound like a fucking idiot, to be perfectly blunt. But yeah, we talked about... I actually didn't know about the stuff about the Planned Parenthood episode, which actually is the episode that is nominated for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's listed on the Emmy site as one of the highlighted episodes. I didn't know the background of that. I thought they were just doing it based on the, you know, sort of, I mean, there's always been attacks on Planned Parenthood, but I mean, you know, because of, you know, certain people in certain power positions. And he sort of enlightened me about how that came to be and how they were approached to do that episode, which was really, really cool. And then I talked to him a little bit about his relationship with John Mulaney, because he's done a lot of stuff with John Mulaney. And then I sort of end it with a weird question about one of his my favorite character of the whole show of Big Mouth is Lola, the like sort of really angry, bossy girl who kind of sounds a lot like I don't know if you're familiar with characters on the Kroll show, but Liz from Publicity. So I asked him about that too, so that was cool.
Awesome. So anything else to look forward or to look out for on the interview?
He was really, really, really easygoing. Really, really. I've always known this, that he's been really, really smart, but he, I can sense that there was a lot of care put into the show, not just for the dirty, filthy, really sort of out there jokes that they sort of get away with. Like they mm-hmm. are trying to do something a lot more concentrated about, stigmatization, is that a word? Of puberty and sex on people, especially young people. So I thought that was very, very interesting.
Would make an interesting double feature for Big Mouth and Sex Education. Both yes. Netflix properties.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, you should watch Big Mouth as kids going through puberty and then go across the pond to watch Sex Education. Sure.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Joey, thank you so much. And for our listeners, just continue to listen and subscribe to the Awards Daily Water Cooler Podcast. And of course, always visit awardsdaily.com/ADTV for the latest Emmy news, interviews, and more. And I think that'll do it. Thank you, Joey. And I'm looking forward to hearing this interview with Nick Kroll, creator of Big Mouth.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Good. I have to geek out a little bit because I think Big Mouth is one of the best things on TV. I absolutely love it.
Thank you.
And congratulations on the nomination. I think you guys deserve at least like 5 or 6. So I'm glad you guys got in for animated program.
Thank you. Yeah, I was very happy to be nominated.
Yeah. Do you sometimes wonder how the hell you're getting away with all this?
you know, you have to know. I mean, it definitely is the advantage of being on a platform like Netflix, which mm-hmm. doesn't have advertisers to complain or, and doesn't have, you know, just doesn't have the same, kind of like, I think, outdated standards and practices that, you know, network television for sure does, and even still cable does in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
But I think across the board we're seeing a shift in content. But I would say our show does even still obviously push the boundaries. But I think we get away with the very dirty stuff because we are simultaneously incredibly sweet and, like, I think emotionally very vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we usually get mileage on both ends for having a show that is both very dirty and very sweet. And I think one really complements the other.
Yeah. I have to ask, was the Planned Parenthood episode like a direct response to the attacks on the organization have been facing in the last like 2 years?
It was so Planned Parenthood invited a bunch of writers and producers to have a meeting, and they said my partners Mark Levin and Jen Flackett were at that meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And Sue Dunlap, who is the CEO of Planned Parenthood in Los Angeles, basically said, obviously your money is wonderful. We will always take your money. But what we really need is stories about that involve Planned Parenthood that speak to what the organization really does. And so we took that as a assignment to see if we could figure out how to tell a story or some stories revolving around Planned Parenthood. And so we visited the facility, and one of the writer, Emily Altman, who wrote the episode, had been a volunteer at Planned Parenthood. And our feeling was general. There were obviously have been a lot of general attacks on Planned Parenthood, but also on a lot of just reproductive health in general.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought it was a fertile area to do a show that felt very much like an episode of Big Mouth, but also a fun departure, both in form and storytelling, and that it was really speaking specifically to one particular place.
Yeah.
And we took it up as a challenge.
I had no idea that that was how you guys created that episode. Holy shit. That is really freaking cool. Do you, people sort of come running up to you and sort of tell you tell you anything about their own personal experiences? Like now that you've sort of, I mean, Big Mouth is, you know, the characters are very young and, like you said, they're in a very vulnerable place. We can all relate to that. And I assume some stuff has been based on your writers or actors' own personal experiences. Do you find that people are very open now with you guys, now that the show's been out there for 2 seasons?
Yeah, definitely people will, you know, I can't believe how many people had sex with pillows and couches and glow worms. It really is it was not unique to my one friend who did that, it turns out.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things people really defiled a lot of things. In so people tell me that. I've heard a lot of different stories about how and when girls got their period for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I definitely have heard people's stories. And that's honestly such a big part of the show for us, is that we want the show to be a jumping off point for people to talk about what they went through or what they're going through to destigmatize puberty and what a truly traumatic experience it is for so many people.
Yeah.
That in talking about it, we start to let people know, and specifically kids now, that they're not alone going through it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen anything that was like that on TV. Like, I'm 35. I wish that I would have had something like Big Mouth on TV. I think some people sort of underestimate the heart and the drive that you guys have in terms of, like, educating your audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that is, our job is not to be sex educators, but we are incredibly conscious of what and how we're saying the things we're saying, and that we want to destigmatize a lot of things that, you know, puberty and sexuality are so filled with these very stigmatized things that people don't want to talk about. And we found in doing the show, we've given a way for people to talk about the things that we all have gone through. And, you know, we found that it's encouraged some people to talk to each other about it, and talk to, talk to parents, talk to teachers, talk to each other. All we want to do is just create, give people a vocabulary and the jumping off point to have these, I think, really important conversations.
Yeah, I agree with that. What kind of animated shows do you love? Like, were you heavily influenced by, like, a lot of stuff growing up? Like, I assume, like The Simpsons, or what did you love in terms of animation before you started doing Big Mouth?
I mean, I obviously grew up watching The Simpsons, and, and Andrew worked at Family Guy, and for many years, and learned a lot of the animation, a lot of animation, obviously, from there. And, I recently saw Howie Mandel at the Just for Laughs Festival in Toronto and Montreal, and told him that, I used to watch Bobby's World.
Yeah.
And Louis Anderson had his show, I think, called, like, Louis' Kids, or, I'm forgetting the name, but, over the years, like, I love, South Park obviously is culturally so important to me and so many people, especially in what we're doing as sort of pushing the envelope. There's no denying, like Rick and Morty, obviously, and Bob's Burgers has done such a great job, and, Archer's super funny.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just so much great, there's a lot of great animated shows, and BoJack, obviously, was at Netflix before us, and is telling some really interesting stories. So, I mean, there's just a lot of great stuff, and I definitely have always been an animation fan. I loved Animaniacs growing up.
Yeah.
So I kind of watched a little King of the Hill. I watched kind of everything.
I feel like I sort of can't see a globe or a map of the world without thinking of that like Countries of the World song. So I feel like that probably made like a super insane impression on me when I was younger.
Sure.
Yeah. Not to jump back, but do you think sort of the kids of Big Mouth, the characters of Big Mouth, are maybe going to turn out better than the adults that they're around all the time?
I mean, I hope so. I think, I think it's to be a kid right now is obviously, look, always going to puberty at any time in history is hard. Going through puberty right now with where technology is and where society and culture is and the changing things is incredibly complicated. But I also have an incredible amount of hope for kids who are growing up right now who are so much less burdened in many cases by the things that have been stigmatized over the years with sexuality and cultural sort of norms.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I think it's also they're growing up with computers in their pockets is a really, really scary thing about how their brains are wired.
Yeah.
In that space, and I think that we don't fully understand what we've given to kids, and that these kids have grown up literally their entire lives. So I think the kids in Big Mouth have the potential of being in better shape than the parents. I think they're learning a lot, and they're constantly, we always struggle with how do we like get these kids to learn lessons, but also continue to be 13-year-olds who are total fucking hormonal mess. So we're always kind of trying to thread that needle.
Yeah, I mean, puberty is hell for everybody, but I sort of thank my lucky fucking stars that I did not grow up in the age with cell phones and all the horrible shit that the kids can go through now. I sort of am thankful for that, personally.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. You introduced a new character this season in the Shame Wizard, which is a really, really awesome character. I feel like maybe, were you trying to ruin some Harry Potter childhoods with that, since David Thewlis is the voice?
Yeah, I know. Well, we had been watching Fargo season 3, and he was the voice, he's the villain in Fargo season 3, and I think he, if we just, as we were conceiving of it, we really just had him, they took that character in Fargo with this really haunting, charming, real sort of weird energy guy. We just loved it, and so we wrote to that, and then offered to Thewlis, assuming he would be too, you know, like, cool and high-draft to do it, but it turns out that he's a weirdo like us.
That's crazy.
And he agreed, so, we, yeah. But he's like kind of a good guy in Harry Potter, right?
He's Professor Lupin.
He's like a good,
Yeah, like my nerdery is showing. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's a nice change for him. Yeah. you have worked so closely with John Mulaney. Can you sort of tell me how your relationship has changed throughout the years, especially with Big Mouth?
Well, you know, John and I have worked together. We've known each other since college.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, you know, very excited we've worked together since college. We've done, you know, Oh Hello, obviously, together as partners. And Big Mouth I created with Andrew, Mark, and Jen.
Mm-hmm.
And as we were trying to figure out who would be a good fit to play the voice of Andrew, everyone was like, well, what about John? And it was so interesting. He's the funniest person, and we obviously have a real friendship and affinity for one another.
Uh-huh.
And we originally had, we had a couple of other ideas for him, but then as soon as we thought about it, it just made so much sense, and he's such an impressive comedic mind and such a great voice actor. And it's been really fun to have this other thing with him that, really is just an acting job for him in the best way,
Yeah.
And we still get to get in the booth together and mess around and find stuff together, and it's always a blast.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are so amazing together. I think you guys are like a really amazing comic duo. So I always love any time that either of you pop up, but when both of you pop up in the same thing, I get very, very excited. You guys were renewed just now for, I mean, not just now, but like a couple weeks ago, just renewed for 3 seasons, which is a thing that I sort of have never heard about before. So congratulations on that. Are you super excited and intimidated? Like, how are you, like, sort of approaching that or dealing with that renewal?
Not really intimidated. More just excited to be able to, the animation takes so long to do.
Mm-hmm.
That the process is almost easier when it continues to be sort of an ongoing thing. Like, in a way, we're kind of always writing and in some part of production.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels natural that we have picked up multiple seasons because of the way you have to do animation. We're a year and a half, we're well over a year ahead of anything that will be put out.
Yeah.
So it's so exciting and have the comfort and to have the sort of the thumbs up from Netflix that basically says, like, we like what you're doing. We want to build a longer, bigger partnership with you guys in regards to this show. And that's like, you can't ask for a bigger vote of confidence. And so it just makes us feel like we can map out the kind of stories and arcs that we want to do and and still continue to make bold, confident choices in what we do and how we do it. Like, for example, the Planned Parenthood episode that clearly, you know, they came out that Netflix, you know, is on board for the kind of, stuff we want to make.
Yeah. I have to sort of just, like, close a little bit with, like, two little stupid stories, if that's okay. First of all, one of your directors, Joel Moser. My last name is Moser. My first name is Joey. So anytime that I see Joel Moser's name pop up, I accidentally think sometimes that I have somewhere in my subconscious directed an episode of Your Amazing Show. And then just as, like...
Well, you've had a good job as Joel Moser during your show.
Yeah. And then I sort of wanted to ask, like, a really silly question to sort of close. Is Lola, who is my absolute favorite character, she makes me laugh so, so much, is Lola sort of somewhat mentally or voice actory related to Liz from Publicity?
Yes, I mean, there is. It would be hard to deny the connection to, you know, some of the Kroll Show characters became inspirations, at least locally, for whether it's Lola, who shares some physical resemblance and mental resemblance to Liz from Publicity, and, you know, Coach D definitely has a rep jet in him. And so on and so forth. But, you know, what's so great is as we go on and the show keeps evolving, that these characters take on their own, you know, we just feel so much more information, and even vocally they change. So I hear myself doing, you know, Lola or Coach Steve or any of the characters from season one, and where they are now is at least I can tell that there's like a shift as I get to know the characters and fun, weird, you know, point of view and vocal qualities. But yeah, Lola is Lola and Liz, I think, share a lot of the same DNA.
Yeah, that's great.
And in the weirdest way, that DNA is Nick Kroll, which is the weirdest part of all.
Yeah, the best part. Not the weirdest part, the best part. So thank you for taking the time to talk to me. I'm a massive fan of the show. I hope you guys win Animated Program. I think it's sort of kind of one of the most underrated shows on TV. I think it's really special and really great. So good luck to you guys this season. All right. Well, hope you have a good
Thanks
rest
so
of your day.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Yeah, well, if you like season one and two, I think season three will blow you away.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Great. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Have a good one.
Thanks so much.